my, Mr. Plimpton, I'm afraid I have some rather bad news for you. Mr. Plimpton, you're a very sick man. You're a very sick man indeed, yes. I'm afraid I must warn you that the slightest emotional disturbance could kill you.
We're listening to The Committee, whose forte is comic improvisations and set pieces. For the rest of this program, we'll be hearing some scenes from a typical committee session and talking with the actors about their work here in San Francisco.
The committee choristers and vocal ensemble would like to improvise a cantata for you on any book of nonfiction that you, the audience, will suggest. Do you have a book of nonfiction you would like? By whom?
Do you want your children to be ignorant? No, of course not. Britannica will bring them understanding from aardvark to zygometric by way of Baluchistan, Kalispanea, Dipsomania, of the world, a dictionary of 17 languages, and a bookcase to put the whole spirit. And the payments are easy.
The payments are easy. The payments are easy. The payments are easy.
Encyclopedia Britannica Intermedia. And later on, of course, the Encyclopedia Britannica Adult Size. With the Adult Size Encyclopedia Britannica, there comes absolutely free an order form for supplements, an
order form for supplements, an order form for supplements, an order form for supplements, an order form for supplements, an order form for supplements, an order form for supplements, an order form for supplements, an order.
Improvisation isn't necessarily tied to topical humor. It's,
Alan Meyerson, director of The Committee.
Arriving at material plays is also an old method of performance. It goes back to the Commedia dell'arte in Italy, which was improvised until Goldoni began to formalize it and put his own conceptions of what Commedia was on paper. Shakespeare's company was an improvisatory company. They improvised much of what he finally made proper. Molière's company was an improvising company, as was Stanislavski's, and so on. We've chosen for ourselves, because of our own inclinations, to be a satirical, topical theater, primarily because the way that we look at the world, it doesn't seem to be any other choice of approaching it. It's pretty insane, and unless you understand its insanity, it seems that you become almost catatonic. We use improvisation as a method of arriving at our material, and we also use it as a method of performance, in that we do perform within the performance, within on any given night, we do improvise for an audience. The benefits of this are a particular kind of spontaneity and liveness, which doesn't exist necessarily otherwise in a well-rehearsed written show. On the other hand, there are certain benefits to having a well-rehearsed written show in that you don't make mistakes, or at least you don't make the same kinds of
In Commedia, and to an even greater extent in Shakespeare and Moliere, as you mentioned, there was a certain amount of improvisation within a rather fixed piece of material. And there were stock characters in Commedia too, the Harlequin and the Pantalone and everything. Is there more of a dichotomy here between the bits that the committee does, which are pure improvisation based on audience suggestions, headlines or poems, satires of works of literature, and the bits which are announced as rehearsed bits?
Well, yeah, we actually improvise in three ways. We improvise in what we call spot improvisations. That is, we do something from an audience suggestion there without any kind of pre-planning involved. We also improvise within the set pieces. They're often different from night to night. Mostly because we get bored with it, and sort of as a way to goose the material back into some kind of livelihood for ourselves.
Are the set pieces evolved through some kind of improvisational technique in rehearsal times?
Yeah, we also improvise for ourselves in the afternoon, which is one method of coming by the set material. And another way is that we improvise. The second show on weeknights is an improvised show, what we call a set. And what we do is we take a number of suggestions, probably 30 or 40 suggestions, from the audience on various sorts of topics, like characters and places and headlines. And we then go backstage and take about 20 minutes and take 10 or 15 of those 40 suggestions and improvise scenes on those 10 or 15. And from those, the best we keep and work on and try and perfect into the set scenes.
We'd like to do an improvisation on your suggestion, insurance salesman.
It's open. Open.
How do you do, sir?
Let me sit down first.
How do you do? My name is Ed Morrison. What's yours? Sir, how do you do? If I may sit down, I'd like to talk to you for a few moments.
Don't move the chair.
I'm sorry, sir.
Ask me.
Oh, may I move the chair?
Yes.
Thank you very much. How do you do? I represent the Mutual Life Insurance Company. We have fire, theft, auto collision, any kind of insurance. Do you need any insurance? Have you any insurance
sir? I'm very old.
Yes, I can see that.
Very, very old.
Yes, I got about a
half. Very.
No insurance.
You don't have any insurance. I see. I noticed this is a very old house. Does this house have any insurance, sir?
No.
No, good. What about that car out there, the Essex? Does that have any insurance?
No.
No insurance at all. Well, sir, I think that we may be able to do a business. I may be able to help you, sir. I think that everybody should carry insurance, and I think you are one person.
But if I buy
insurance
for the house,
yes,
I'm asking for a fire. I'm asking for the house to burn down.
Well, that's not right.
You, well, if I insure the car, I'm asking for the car to burn down. Accident.
No, sir. I don't think you understand the reason for insurance. The reason for insurance is
you're
to...
You're asking me about house and fire. Look at me.
Well, yes.
I need it.
Well, I don't think you would be eligible for life insurance. How old are you, sir?
23.
It's just a big fake-out. You didn't know it, but I'm an actor, and... You came in like I was in my own thing, and I didn't want to break. And I want to buy insurance. I need the car. I like old cars, and we'll do it. I'm with you.
You want to just buy life insurance?
Yeah, everything. No, not life insurance. Everything else. Car, family. I have a child.
All right, fine. How much insurance do you want on your car? We have a $100 deductible, or $50 deductible, or $250 deductible.
Just listen.
Also on the house, we have a fire and theft in case anybody breaks in.
Get out! Get out of my house! That was another fake out.
I think the Cabaret Theater is, which is what this really is if you're going to tag a name onto it, is probably the most exciting method of performance in the country now. It's not a new one. Brecht's Three Penny Opera was a Cabaret Theater piece. If you think of that as a piece, you understand how much more exciting it is in a place where people are eating and drinking and able to smoke and relaxed in a particular kind, relaxed enough to be able to enjoy what they're watching rather than finding themselves tied into a hard seat that they can't leave for any reason. They can't go to the camp. They have to, because they have to watch this thing because somebody told them that's the way they do things. Any other art form that we discuss has a certain amount of casualness to it. Even if you go into a museum, while there are certain formalities that are generally exercised, you don't speak loudly or something, or often you don't smoke. Nevertheless, you can sit, you can take your leisure, you can move from place to place. You're in many ways your own. You can make your own ground rules in terms of your participation with the art that you're dealing with.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon, and welcome indeed to our public opinion man on the street program, Stick Your Oar In. Here we are on the corner of 3rd and Market to ask your opinion about the important subjects of the day. Now, for our discussion of this afternoon, will anyone suggest the topic, a newsy topic of any kind?
If Birmingham Riots.
The Birmingham Riots, all right. That's the subject for our discussion. Oh, here comes someone. Hello. Sir, may we have your name, please? Sir?
Yes, my name is Leonard Swine.
Leonard Swine. Of what city, sir?
I'm from Wrath of God, Ohio.
Wrath of God, where's that?
That's about 49 miles from Willowbrook, Ohio.
I see. Mr. Swine, have you been following the unpleasant problems that they've been having in Birmingham, Alabama?
Yes, I have.
And what's your opinion of all that?
I'm sick about it.
You're sick about it?
Yes.
Why so?
Sickening. Well, I think it's disgraceful, man. It's like Nazi Germany. What it reminded me of, kicking the hell out of people. Yes. Well, I don't offend anybody.
Oh, by heavens, no. It's adult radio.
Right, why not?
Nobody's likely to take offense. You're from Ohio. Is there any problem with this kind of Ohio?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the center of the Anglo-Saxon population of the United States, you know.
I see. And what, in Millbrook, for example, how have you handled your problems there?
Well, we don't have any Negroes in Millbrook, Ohio.
Oh, I see.
Well, there is no problem.
Yes. Pardon me, sir. May we have your name, please?
What for?
We're on the air, sir. We're asking passers-by their opinion on an important subject.
Oh, yes.
Your name, please?
My name is Joseph Goebbels.
From what city, Mr. Goebbels?
Well, I'm a native of Buenos Aires.
Mr. Goebbels, have you been following the news of Birmingham, Alabama? opinion of that play?
Rank amateur. No, you see, as a matter of fact, I'm here investigating this sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
I've come on behalf of a group of people. We have our offices in Buenos Aires.
Really?
We are sort of a tomorrow redevelopment. Organization. We wish to find good recruits, and of course we have scouts in the field in such a places as Alabama in the United States Senate.
Thank you very much for talking to me. Oh, hello. May we have your name, please?
Oh, sure. My name is Honey Kay Fleaver.
Honey Kay Fleaver?
Yeah.
Well, I'm very glad to meet you, Miss Fleaver. Where are you from, please?
Oh, well, I'm from a suburb of Groveland, South Carolina.
Well, would you give us your opinion, Miss Fleaver, of the disturbances in Birmingham, Alabama?
Oh, I'd be glad to. I was there just recently.
Oh, you were? An eyewitness?
Oh, yes. I'm the ladies' leader for the Ku Klux Klan.
I didn't know there was a ladies' auxiliary.
Oh, yes. You didn't recognize me without my sheet, did you? That's all right.
What is the position of the Ku Klux Klan with reference to the Negro population of the South?
Well, the way we feel is they are all a bunch of communists and Jews.
Thank you very much.
That's quite all right.
Sir, pardon me. May we have a moment? Your name, please?
Oh, yes. My name is Marvin Gardens.
Marvin Gardens? But what city, sir?
New York City Park Place.
How do you do, Mr. Gardens? I'm sure you've been following with no doubt great concern, as everyone else has, the unhappiness in Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, yes, yes, I do. I feel very qualified to comment on Birmingham.
Why so?
I'm a Negro.
You're a Negro?
Yes.
Permit me, I don't want to be personal, but you appear to me to be quite a fair-skinned Negro.
I might say the same of you.
I don't know if this is quite accurate. See, my mother and my father...
We're fair-skinned Negroes.
Well, now...
We're boring from within.
You're boring from within? You mean you have some sort of a concerted program?
Oh, yes, very organized. Oh, yes, completely all of the United States.
How many of you are there?
Oh, well, I would say that 50% of the population of the United States is fair-skinned Negroes.
Well, they are. And the other 50%?
Are black-skinned.
During a break in the show, we talk with members of the committee.
I mean, you know, because we're very intimate and it wouldn't go far, and I don't think that what we have to say should go too far because it might upset too many people.
Do you think that people around here are upset by some of the bits that you do?
I don't think anybody is ever upset.
I'm always upset by everything you do.
Well, yes, but you're in the show. She sits backstage and she chews her fingernail. That's why she's not in the audience. I would say anybody who is upset by what we do joins the show.
Yeah.
Trying to get back, you know, at us. And so all the people in the show are actually people who have been upset by what we've done, thereby leaving the audience pure. Nobody ever minds what we do at all.
How does what you do differ from therapy, this kind of psychodrama?
There is no difference. Oh, I think that's all a bunch of...
What's psychodrama?
Oh, psychodrama, you're acting out your hostilities, and it's kind of a... kind of an organized
the theater is no place for acting out hostilities. We're not a theater. What are we? We're very, you know, we're not a new theater either, and we're not psychodrama, and you don't have to be crazy and all that. I mean, we're trying to, you know.
Why is there that mad gleam in your eyes when you say this?
Well, I don't have a mad gleam in my eye. I'm serious. Well, to me, the theater is to communicate with a lot of people, and by, you know, going through experiences together on the stage, swinging, and it's not psychodrama or anything.
It's a dialogue.
Insane.
Yeah, actually, it's a dialogue.
It's a dialogue with the audience.
I don't know, from what you say about psychodrama, I don't really know. But if it's just acting out your hostilities, I mean, you could just go on stage and bang the piano a lot, or crack, or walk on it, or something.
Jimmy Durante's been doing that for years.
Well, then maybe he's a great psychodramatist. I don't know, but we don't.
No, I do it.
Do you walk on the piano?
I mean, I know. This discussion has gone off on a tangent that doesn't belong here. You know, it was a joke that got around serious, and now it's getting back to a joke again. The thing of psychodrama, it's a misapplied term.
Misnomer.
I Yeah, I have in improvisation stood on the piano and I've jumped up and down and I've yelled and I've also done serious things, which has nothing to do with psychodrama.
Yeah, but
it's a piece of theatricality.
Right, but I mean, you were doing it because of the audience, not because of your need to jump on a piano. That's the difference.
I disagree with you. I need to jump on a piano.
Whatever you say.
I think that the term psychodrama is not even...
Let's dismiss psychodrama. Yeah.
Forget I ever said it.
Right.
Forget he said it.
I don't even remember.
Did I say it?
He doesn't. You didn't say it.
I didn't say it. Give me that mic.
I never said it.
Take it away. Yeah. Who are you anyway? What is this?
What is this?
It's a holdup.
Right.
Some guy walks in here with a tape recorder.
Please. We've got to go.
Actually, that's our psychiatrist. We have to leave now.
I'd like to set a different mood, kind of change the pace with your assistance. Let's think back together to a wonderful time which is apparently becoming extremely popular all over again. You know, the time of horses and buggies and Tiffany lamps and the song and dance band and the antimacassar. Remember those old things? Here, I have it. Think back with me to Berkeley, California in 1963.
I'm not the least bit prejudiced. I go for the common trends, the mix and the spix and the pollocks. I'm proud to call my friends. I'm not the least bit prejudiced. I'm the kind of a guy who thinks. I eat down the Dago Tonys and I take my dirty shirts to the chinks. With all my colored brothers, I get along real fine. Why, I'd even let a nigger marry a sister of mine if I had a sister. I'm not the least bit prejudiced, and so I will spread the news that I'm not the least bit prejudiced. Why, some of my best friends are Jews. They lend me money. Some of my best friends are Jews. So all my life I'm gonna die.
We don't think that we present a comic book, but at the same time, we don't think that we present a pedantic tome either. What we think of ourselves as intelligent, aware people who have something to say and say it in a talented and entertaining manner, and we ask that our audience to get as much as we think we have to offer. Also be intelligent and aware of people who are interested in seeing something that's entertaining and talented.
Which leads me to my next question. What about the audiences? Do you feel, in the light of all of the success that the committee has had, that in fact audiences have generally been intelligent and aware here?
Yeah, I think so. It's, you know, that's a very difficult kind of thing to say. People come out of here laughing and smiling, so you assume that you're successful. At the same time, I have a sheaf of letters of people who've called us vile and insulting and get wise before it's too late and smutty and dirty and one step worse than Lenny Bruce and so on, which would be very nice if we were indeed that. I think that most people are intelligent. I think we generally don't give people credit for what they really are. I know that I walk up and down Broadway sometimes, and I come on like an idiot in other people's places. And I don't think of myself as an idiot, but I'm sure they do. I think this is true of most people, that they've been conditioned to come on like idiots, but if you approach them like intelligent human beings, they'll respond like intelligent human beings. That sounds very... antiseptic and academic, you know, as if we were psychiatric experimenters. But I really think that people are put down so much that they don't know where they're at.
You think that the members of the committee now will, bit by bit, tend to go their separate ways, and the committee will remain as an institution, but with new personnel coming in?
I hope not. One of the reasons that we're all in San Francisco and intend to remain here is. That we're interested generally in a group kind of theater rather than in a theater of stars or individual performance. I think generally that anybody in the United States who's seriously interested in the theater understands that the way the theater is constituted in this country, it's almost impossible for a genuine theatrical art to develop. The pressures of against the group, which and the theater is a collaborative art, are so great. I think that all of us are very interested in remaining as a group, whether we will or not. I don't know. I didn't know 9 months ago. I didn't know that we'd be here today. I can't tell you.
Chopsticks.
What banana?
Yes, I like it too. I really like it. Yeah.
Jello.
Peter,
Mark's
you
chopsticks.
You could do a Jello.
I do Jello.
Hey, does Jello.
How about chopsticks combined with Jello?
Husband.
Following the first show, the actors retire to a backstage area, which is in fact the club's kitchen, and sit around a table littered with more than 17 different magazines of varying political hues, and decide which audience suggestions they will use as premises for improvisations in the second show, who will do what, and when there's time, how some of the bits will progress. Often, however, things simply take form on stage. Then, before the last of the beer has been downed, it's time to go on.
Change from one character to another by whatever suggests itself to them. I don't know if I explained that well. You'll see what happens. So could I have a character that they can begin the scene with? A character type like you gave before in the suggestion.
Senator.
A senator. And could I have a character type to end the scene with? A senator. To a prize fighter. Through a series of transfers or transformations, they will get from a senator to end up with a prize fighter.
Now, you may ask, why I have backed the share bill. Now that's a question that I have asked myself time and time again. Now I have looked into myself deep down. I have probed to the depths. Bravo! Thank you very much. Now we're going to ask a few questions. What was I talking about? Will a young senator from Utah please stand up and tell me what I was talking
Mr.
about?
Mr. Speaker, you're talking about probing yourself. My God. I don't know whether that was exactly it. Big question, of course. Well, I probe myself all the time.
Where?
In Utah. I owe it to my constituents to study.
Now, just a second here. A young senator from Utah is trying to make a laughing stock out of the Senate.
No, sir. I mean, the Senate is my life. The Senate is, I gave my life for the senator. I mean, the Senate. Mr. Senator,
Now, just exactly what do you mean?
Well, I've been it since I was
Were you or were you not
was...
Were you or were you not in the vicinity of the murdered person on the night that she was murdered?
Huh? Murdered? I mean, murdered.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I submit that this man is guilty and he is lying. Lying to you, ladies and gentlemen, not to me.
Come
he is
on.
Not fooled. I am not fooled by your conniving. Your, look at that face, ladies and gentlemen. Is that not the face of a sex pervert? Of a child molester?
Right here. Pouring out.
Well, there's something stuck in the side of your head here.
My ear's not. It's inside the ear.
Yes, I see. It's blood. You don't recognize blood.
But it's white.
It's white blood. White corpuscles. Yes, red corpuscles. White corpuscles.
Well, that's ridiculous. It's a fluid. It's coming out of my ear.
Look. It's white.
Down in there.
Oh, let me get a probe. You get the probe.
Why don't you get the glass to look first?
That's
before you
record a probe.
Before you probe.
Record a probe. Look, simmer down, buddy. I've been going to a medical school. I know what it's all about.
You know the pain.
I know the pain. You see that white fluid here?
Physician, heal myself.
I don't know what I got.
Check me out. Maybe you'll find out.
Again, you ever try to look in your own ear?
Yeah. Do it. I'll do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, you use a sick injector razor, you too can get the same kind of shave as Will Hutchins here at the Baltimore Oriole. Will, have you shaved with a sick injector razor before?
Yes, I have.
Good.
It goes pretty. I've shaved with a cuckoo. I've shaved with a cuckoo.
Cuckoo. Terrible, the beat gets all over you. I'm sorry.
Hashish, you know.
Yeah, crazed. Beasts, crazy.
They stuff them with dope before they come over, you know.
Yeah.
They don't know what the hell
coming
they're
out
doing.
Their ear.
Right, boy, they're crazy.
Ah,
you
animal.
Kid.
He's got any more morphine?
Yeah, sure, I got morphine. Suggestion of an object, chopstick.
What you want?
Hmm?
What you want? Oh, what do you want? You hear me?
Yeah.
What do you want?
Hi.
Well, what do you want? You want to eat?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You want something?
I want.
Ooh, you know what I am.
Do you have a menu in English?
Oh, menu in English?
Yeah. Oh. I mean, there's no English on this menu, and I the characters are a bit weird. I can't read them.
Just like a menu, you know. Menu. Here you go, menu. Fried rice, huh? What, that's all?
Yeah, well, I suppose.
Egg foo young?
Yeah, well,
how about
some... Oh, yeah, how about some... Huh? How about some wonton soup?
What do you want, buff?
Beef wonton?
No beef.
How about some egg wonton?
No egg wonton.
What kind you got?
Wonton.
Wonton. Bring me a small bowl of wonton.
No small bowl.
Bring me a big tureena soup.
Oh, now you talk. Money,
with two small bowls.
Oh, what do you want two small bowls for?
One to dip my fingers in.
Are you, you American?
Yeah.
You're crazy. You ho.
Well, I get greasy.
You want something to eat? No more.
Huh?
Want something to eat?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a soup?
Yeah.
No, sorry, I mean, eat, eat.
Yeah, eat.
What do you want to eat?
Eat.
What do you want to eat? Want the beef? Was it that
thing? Yeah.
Okay. Wait, I give rice. I give you a big bowl of rice, huh?
Can I have a fork?
Here. You come in here?
Yeah.
Chinese menu?
Chinese menu.
I get English menu?
You get English menu.
You try chopstick.
Okay, okay, right.
You try.
Yeah, you go halfway with me.
I'm Chinese.
Okay, I believe it.
You American?
I'm, yeah. Well, there's no reason we can't be friends.
Okay, you try chopstick. I teach you if you don't know how.
Okay, good.
I get you special. I will give you special.
What special?
Snail.
Hey, I'd rather have sweet and sour pork.
Sweet and sour pork? Hold it. We work very fast.
Yeah.
You take finger?
Yeah.
I show you. Hold it. Thumb. Finger. Finger. Tuck, tuck. You try it now. Here.
Well, I can...
You take me.
I can eat the wonton, but the soup, I can't get them on the thing.
Perhaps
a spoon. Meanwhile, I'll eat the rice.
You use mouth.
Oh, I mean, just sort of...
Go ahead, Dick. Eat with finger. Eat with finger.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That concludes our second show and the shows for this evening. We'd like to remind you that on Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, the second show, we improvise. And on Saturdays and Fridays, we do just a regular show, twice on Fridays, three times on Saturdays. I'd like to invite you back, and thank you for Irene Reardon, Catherine Ish, Hamilton Camp, Peter Lane, and Ellsworth Milburn on the piano, and I'm John Scott Trott. Good night.
You have been listening to The Committee, a program recorded at the Troupe's San Francisco Cabaret Theater at 622 Broadway. Members of the committee are Irene Reardon, Kay Ish, Scott Beach, Gary Goodrow, Peter Lane, Larry Hankin, Hamilton Camp, and pianist Ellsworth Milburn. The director is Alan Meyerson. Recording and technical production was by John Whiting, and the program was produced and narrated by Jack Nessel.